Good morning, everyone. My name is Yong Seo Go, and I'm a first year PhD student at the University of Seoul in South Korea. I'm very happy to be here to introduce our work on hybrid storage systems. This is joint work with Professor No, Lee, and Choi. Okay, let me start it. Hybrid storage systems harnesses benefits of SSDs and HDDs in terms of high performance, large capacity, and affordable cost. So it can replace expensive SSDs and slow HDDs as main storage. Specifically, in hybrid storage systems, SSDs may be used as flash cache. The performance of hybrid storage is mainly determined by that of flash cache. In this talk, we focus on the issue of managing flash cache in hybrid storage systems. Flash-based SSDs need to maintain overall provision space, or OPS, because flash cache cannot update data in place, so we need to reserve OPS for garbage collection. And also, this OPS size greatly influences garbage collection performance. In typical SSDs, OPS size is usually fixed, and we don't know the optimal size. So it cannot adapt to workload changes on the fly. In this talk, we tackle the issue of determining the OPS size in hybrid storage systems. Let me try to visualize the impact of OPS size in flash cache. Let me emphasize here that the SSD that is used as flash cache comes with a fixed capacity. When this SSD is used as flash cache, some of this capacity is used to cache data, and some is used as OPS space. Determining how much to use as OPS and how much to use as caching space is the topic of this study. As mentioned already, OPS size influences hit ratio and garbage collection cost of flash cache. As fraction of OPS size increases, the garbage collection cost decreases. In other words, update cost flash cache decreases. On the other hand, as OPS size increases, that is, the cache size decreases, bit rate increases. As a result, the performance of flash cache goes well down. So a trade-off exists between caching benefit and update cost flash cache. So with this trade-off, we can show overall cost curve of hybrid storage according to OPS size. As OPS size increases, this cost goes well down to the minimal point, and then it increases again. So there is a point where performance is optimal, and also this optimal point should be changed according to workload changes. Therefore, the goal of this talk is to discover this optimal point according to workload changes so that hybrid storage performance is optimized. The optimal performance point that I mentioned in the previous slide is found using optimal partition scheme, which dynamically adjusts the caching space and OPS sizes based on the workload. The key idea is that we periodically adjust OPS size of flash cache to maximize the performance according to the workload changes. For example, assume that for this workload, OPS size is as shown. As workload characteristics changes, the OPS size needs to change as well. So how do you define this workload-dependent OPS size? The answer is a hybrid storage cost model. Here is the outline of the rest of the talk. I will now move on to the hybrid cost model. We all know from our basic OS course that the excess cost model can be represented like this equation for this storage system. With a heat, we access data in the buffer cache with cache access cost. While for miss, we pay a miss penalty to fetch data from HDD. So we can estimate expected I/O cost of this storage system. The access cost model can be extended to our hybrid storage system. CACM represents the expected I/O cost of hybrid storage system. The key difference between DRAM-based buffer cache and flash cache is that we incorporate parameter U into the access cost model. Because, as mentioned before, flash cache is divided into caching space and OPS based on parameter U, where parameter U is the fraction of caching space in the flash cache. Note again that parameter U influences the heat ratio and the access cost of flash cache because caching space size depends on parameter U. As a result, we use this basic model to derive our cost model. Here, I give you a review of hybrid cost model. It represents the expected I/O cost of our system. This model is a combination of the hybrid read cost model and the hybrid write cost model. Because flash cache has an asymmetric read and write cost, so we divide caching space into read and write spaces to distinguish read and write. Hence, we need to derive read and write cost models separately for hybrid cost model. In this talk, we concentrate only on the hybrid read cost model in the interest of time. Let us now derive the hybrid cost model that maintains read data in caching space. For OPS-aware hybrid cost model, the access cost model can be rewritten like this equation based on parameter U, where we maintain read data from HDD in caching space as read cache. This tells us that to find the read cost in a hybrid storage system, we need to know the heat rate, the flash read cost, and the HDD read cost and the flash write cost. So to find these values, we show how to find the read heat rate function and derive the HD cost model and flash cache cost model. Let me now discuss this on our time. Let us first the read heat rate function. There are two factors that influence the read heat ratio. One is the workload, which we do not have control over. The other is the size of the cache, which actually is determined by parameter U. These figures show what I just said. The heat ratio is a function of U. That is for the same workload. If U is small, in other words, read cache size is small, read heat ratio will be low. And if U is high, of course, the read heat ratio will be high. In our implementation, this workload and parameter U dependent heat ratio is using cost buffers of various cache sizes. Next, I will explain HDD cost model. The HDD cost model is independent of parameter U. The HDD read cost is simply a combination of the positioning cost and bus transport cost. Next, let me now explain the flash cache read cost model. Heat I/O request requires flash page read cost CPR. It is near constant cost regardless of garbage collection cost. It is independent from parameter U. Specifically, it is simply comprises flash read operation and bus transport cost. Next, let me now explain the flash write cost model. In addition to an HDD read, a flash cache miss request requires a write to flash cache CPW. This is a sum of the write cost and the garbage collection cost. Specifically, garbage collection cost varies depending on permit you, as shown here. The detailed derivation can be found in our paper. Essentially, as you increase, garbage collection cost increases. As a result, fresh page write cost increases. We can apply this model into our hybrid cost model. So, combining all the derivations together, we get this hybrid cost model. Using this model, we can find the point where performance is optimized. Here, let me show how we find the optimal point. First, we observe iteration curve for a given workload, and then we calculate the hybrid cost model with the iterate curve. And then we draw excess cost graph and find the optimal point like this in excess cost graph. Finally, we adjust fresh cache based on optimal parameter U to maximize the performance of this hybrid storage system. So far, I have explained the hybrid cost model that represents the expected read I/O cost of our system. In reality, hybrid cost combines the hybrid cost model and hybrid write cost model, which we have not discussed. When writes are considered, caching space can be used as read and write caches. We need to divide it into read and write spaces. This is based on parameter R, where parameter R is the fraction of the read space in caching space. To apply parameter R, we need to change the previous hybrid cost model because it considers only read caching space because of parameter U. We do not discuss this derivation here. You can find the detailed derivation in our paper. Having said that, we use this model with parameter U and R to find the optimal values, U and R parameters that maximize our system performance. Let us now see again how we find the point of maximum performance. First, we observe read-write iterations for given workloads, and then we calculate the hybrid cost model based on iteration function and I/O rate for all UNR values. This results in an expected cost estimate as shown here. In this figure, x-axis is U and y-axis is R. In this figure, the blue shade reflects low cost, excess cost, and smiley marks shows the point of minimal cost. More specifically, to find the optimal U and R parameters, we use an iterative algorithm. As you can see, this algorithm consists of nested leaves for U and R parameters. While this algorithm iterates, we calculate our hybrid cost model with current to U and R values like red box. And we can draw access the cost graph and find the optimal point indicated by arrow. And then we adjust the flash cache based on optimal U and R parameters like this orange box. This partitioning process is done periodically. I will now discuss the implementation of OPF-CL scheme. Based on proposed our cost model, we develop the optimal partition flash cache layer named OPF-CL, which is composed of several components. First, sequential I/O detector identify sequential references to avoid cache pollution. Next, workload tracker profiles workload characteristics such as iteration and I/O rate on the fly. And then partition resize periodically executes our workload dependent optimal partition scheme to maximize the performance of hybrid storage systems. And page replacer has two error lists to maintain valuable data in flash cache. Finally, mapping measure translates logical address to physical address. Our OPFs adapt to a current workload pattern. For example, consider this initial workload. As workload changes, OPFs resizes the flash cache partitions. Specifically, in case of reducing partitions for read data, we invalidate in the flash cache. Also, for dirty data, we need to discharge data from flash cache to HDD. In case of enlarging write space, we simply increase the cache size. Let us now move on to the performance evaluation results. For our experiment, we implement a hybrid storage simulator with CMU disk shim and MSI SSD extension. To compare our scheme with other schemes, we implement two other flash cache schemes. The first is fixed partition scheme that has a fixed size OPS. It represents use of the typical SSD product as flash cache. The second is read-write partition, which also has a fixed size OPS, but this scheme distinguishes read and write caches based on our cost model. Also, we use two kinds of configurations. The first configuration consists of 4 GB flash and 10K RPM HDD. The other comprises 16 GB flash cache and 3 10K RPM HDDs. To evaluate our scheme, we use several kinds of server traces, such as financial, search engine, and exchange. All traces are random I/O dominant workloads. Particularly, financial trace is random write I/O dominant workload, search engine trace is random read I/O dominant workload, and exchange trace is read write mixed I/O workload. These results show the response time result. The x-axis is U and y-axis is mean response time. Due to fixed size OPS, to evaluate FE, FCL, and RWFCL, we vary parameter U to obtain their response time. So the performances of FE, FCL, and RWFCL are shown as these marks. On the other hand, OPFCL is shown as this horizontal line because it reports only on response time regardless of parameter U. In the result, OPFCL show near optimal performance because we use workload-dependent optimal partitioning scheme. This result show that optimal performance significantly depends on workload characteristics. This result show how well OPFCL adjusts the partitions in flash cache layer. To investigate dynamic adjustment of OPFCL, we monitor each area sizes. The x-axis is logical time and y-axis is cache sizes. OPFCL dynamically adjusts cache spaces according to workload characteristics. Specifically, for financial and exchange traces, we use considerable OPS size to lower garbage collection cost. On the other hand, for search engine trace, we use as much caching space as possible for read data. Because this is a random read dominant workload and garbage collection is narrowly conducted. Lifetime of flash cache is another important issue. To investigate the effect of lifetime, we measure average erasure count of flash blocks. The x-axis is U, the y-axis is average erasure count. Apart from search engine trace, we can find interesting result that average erasure count decreases and then it increases. Apart from search engine trace, as you increase average rate count to increases. For search engine trace, you can find the interesting result that average rate count to decrease, and then it increases again, and we find the middle point at 80% of you. As you can see, we indicate lifetime. Optimal by blue arrow and performance optimal by red arrow. This result shows that optimal point of lifetime differs from that of performance. Currently, our focus is to improve the performance of flash cache. So, optimizing lifetime of flash cache left as our future work. To conclude, there exists a trade-off between caching benefit and update cost flash cache in hybrid storage systems. So, we propose OPF cell that uses workload-dependent cost model to adjust optimal redo, write, and OPS sizes. It shows near optimal performance compared to other fixed partition schemes. For future research, we plan to develop better destaging and replacement algorithm and make SSD lifetime aware hybrid storage systems. Thank you very much. I'll be happy to take your questions.
Mahesh Maheshwari from Nimble Storage. So I find this work very interesting, very, very useful in real new systems that people are developing. I have a question about your cost model. So for the read cost, you say that the read cost does not depend on the amount of garbage collection going inside the drive. Is that a valid assumption in your experience?
Our hybrid read cost model is our hybrid read cost model depends on garbage collection cost because on a cache miss to store data to flash cache we need right cost of right garbage collection.
Yes. Yeah. No, I understand that on a cache miss. Yeah. You write to flash, and that depends on, that gets amplified because of garbage collection. But on a cache hit, also, when you're reading from flash, doesn't the garbage collection that the drive is doing internally increase the latency of the read on average?
We assume that read hit.
Yeah.
Independent from garbage collection.
I see. Okay. All right.
Right.
Well, I would think that also is affected by the work that the driver is doing inside, and wanted to know what your experience has been. It also depends on you used a simulator to simulate a flash drive, and I don't know whether that simulator accounts for the fact that the drive, when it does garbage collection, the reads are affected.
I'm sorry. I cannot understand your question. Could you repeat that?
Okay, and we can talk more about this later. Basically, about when the flash drive is doing garbage collection internally.
We can physically control low flash. We can control physical
right, but
low,
whatever
low flash.
Whether it's within the drive or in a higher layer.
Let me try to answer that question. I'm sorry, I'm one of his advisors.
Okay.
I guess in reality, yes, the read should not be affected by the garbage collection, and I think our assumption is valid. So. If someone has any arguments regarding that, from our experience, I think that's a valid assumption that the reads should be constant, and that's what we experience when we, measure.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Omar Rafiq from Google. So I wonder if you have looked at various caching policies, like write back versus write through and LRU versus FIFO and how that impacts the cost model that you have.
I can understand your question. Sorry.
I'm sorry. It's the first time. We have not looked at the replacement algorithms per se. So we used LRU in this case, and we have not looked at other algorithms. But our cost model will have to. Well, in fact, the modeling of we use the ghost buffer to keep track of the hit rates and such. And those factors should be changed, but overall, the cost model should not change at all. What was the other question?
Yeah. So what I was saying is that maybe your hit rates will be different.
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, depending on the replacement algorithm, those will change, and so are the hit rate and that we keep track of will change, and overall, the performance will, of course, be affected, yes. Well, you had another question, didn't you? No. All right.
Thank you very much.